Gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
I feel like my team is probably going to go undefeated this year. Yeah, I do feel like I got pretty much all the good players.
You're calling undefeated season for Caddyshack Williams.
Yes, that's correct. It's like when Joe Namath guaranteed the Super Bowl. Did he really know that they were going to win? I mean, let's be real, no. But did he have, a 99% sure feeling? Yeah, he did. And that, so do I. Yeah. My biggest bad
Word Candy, S-L-A-N-G. Thinking about taking $1 million insurance policy out of my mouth.
Transition to a Lamborghini from a Mustang. Drug sling in the drug gang with the hustling. One thing. Anything is better than that.
You're the best podcast guy in the business, man. That's what we're here for. Hey, it's great to be back on your wonderful podcast.
This is the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hey, you get the bag and fumble it. I get the bag and flip it and tumble it. Straight off the lot, 300 cash, and the car came with a blunt in it. La mama a thot, and she got ass, and she gon' fuck up a bag.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. That sounds great. Woo! Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very, very special edition of the Semi-Products Podcast. You can probably tell that I am not your usual host, Rick Nodgers. I am the Jeff Locke to Vernon Adams, the Lyndon Johnson to John F. Kennedy, the Matt Schaub to every NFL team ever. That's right. I am Pip, the owner of Doriel Green Eggs and Beckham, taking over the hosting duties for today's excellent episode that we have planned for you. It is a big week. But before we get to this week, let's take a look back at last week. In the league, I scored the league high of 140.5 points, led by newly acquired quarterback Carson Wentz. Go Eagles. Yeah. And at the opposite end of the table, Scott, much like his team name, the team name inspiration, the Cleveland Browns, he is still yet to win a game. Just like the score of Arsenal against Everton, Brandon won and is moved to 5-2 on the season. Brone squeezed out a tight win over Jared in a battle of 3-3 teams. Just when you think Duncan's team can't look or get any worse, it actually does. And it got even worse after the waiver wire. Jordan and Andrew's six receivers scored a combined 30 points last week. And finally, Rick moved to the top of the table at 6-1 after he beat Luke to record his fourth win by less than 5 points this season.
Wow.
And now we move ahead to week 8, and we are joined in studio by two guys who have the same name, but we won't call either of them by that name. First, we'd like to welcome back the founder and only member of the Alshon Jeffrey fan club. What's by up? The way, their 2018 Alshon Jeffrey nude gardening calendar goes online tomorrow on Amazon. You can buy it. Please welcome back Fronik, owner of Team Street Taco Charlton. Fronik, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me, Pip.
Yeah, no problem. It's great to have you on my podcast.
Hey now.
And now it's a historic moment as we welcome onto the pod as a guest for the very first time, the brains and a little bit of brawn behind each podcast episode.
Okay, let's not give him that much credit.
Okay, well,
brains and beer belly.
Yeah.
The brains and beer gut of every podcast. Rick Nodgers, owner of J Acai Berries. Rick, how's it feel to be on the other side this week?
Wow, this is fun. I now realize why you guys like being on guests on the podcast so much, because being a guest is a lot more fun than being the host.
I'm having fun. I'm a little nervous, but I'm having fun.
Well, everybody's so nervous their first time, so.
That's true. Yeah. True that. This is probably going to be really awkward and not go very well, but we're going to try it out, you know? And maybe you'll give me a second chance.
Maybe it'll go longer than my first time. Who knows?
Ooh.
Well, your second time. And your third time. And your fourth time.
Okay.
Yeah. We get the point. All right. That's enough banter for now. How about that? So we are now... Oh, I guess I'm the host, so let's go on to the first matchup.
There you go.
There you go. That was easy. So our first matchup that we're going to cover this week is going to be Rick, who is coming off another close win versus Luke, and he is facing the 0-7 Cleveland Hash Browns, led by Scott, who lost to me despite the interesting strategy of not starting a wide receiver 3 and a flex who is inactive. We'll see if this catches on in the future. But let's start with Scott, guys. So we know his team is bad. His injuries have killed him. His lack of effort to salvage the season doesn't help much either. But before we talk about his actual roster, which is there's not much to talk about, I want to get your guys' thoughts on what Scott should talk about during his comedy show punishment at next year's draft weekend. Now, I'm doing this, one, because I think it's going to be interesting to see what you guys think, but also maybe this will light a fire under Scott to make more of an effort in upcoming weeks to not finish last. So, what do you guys think he's going to be talking about?
So have we discussed any kind of theme or...
No, I think it's loser's choice on what they want to do. So I don't know how long the set is going to be. I would imagine it's going to be self-deprecating humor. Like, I think he's going to make fun of himself and his bad decisions.
Self-defecating?
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah, self-defecation. Yeah. I think Scott is going to poop on the stage. literally poop. So that'll get probably 11 other people in the crowd that night to laugh, and it'll be the 11 of us in the league. I don't know what Scott's going to do for stand-up. I think that might be a lot harder than putting in the effort at this point for Scott than for fantasy.
What if he goes 0-13?
I think Scott's a naturally funny guy, so you know, I think he could come up with some good material. I don't know either. I think it might be something about maybe passengers at the airport he deals with or his pets.
Animal themed for sure.
Yeah, I think he'd be good at it for sure.
Yeah, it's not for like Scott being not funny.
Yeah, I mean he's the league funny guy, as we've called him throughout this year. But what if he goes 0-13? Yeah, sure. What if he goes 0-13? Do we get to choose what he has to say? Because, I mean, come on. You got to get a win. I mean, chances are you're going to beat someone eventually, right?
Well, you would think so.
But, I mean, looking at his schedule, though, going forward, it's pretty tough sledding. He's the unlucky guy in having to play Jordan and Luke twice this year.
Yeah, that is... that's not a good start. I mean, that's like, guaranteed 4 losses right there. He got really unlucky in that first week, though. But...
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we could make it better on Scott. If we were to go to Cabo, he could do the whole stand-up routine in Spanish.
Oh, that'd be nice. Okay.
If he was a Spanish like major or something, right? I mean, he spent all that time in Mexico and Brazil or wherever he was. So, yeah, I don't know. I just thought that'd be good to discuss because there's really not much to talk about his team. You know, guys, he's 0-7. David Johnson on IR, Olsen on IR, Todd Gurley's on bye this week. Hopkins is playing Seattle. Rick, let's get your thoughts. I mean, you're facing him. What do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is like the only thing that worries me. The 2 tight end train is also a little worrying as well. Brameron Crate is pretty decent to solid tight end, but I don't think, I mean, he's not going to be a game breaker or anything like that. I feel pretty lucky that this is the week that Todd Gurley's on bye, so I don't have to worry about him. Hopefully it's a solid split 1-2 between Rashard and Washington and Oakland for the running backs. But yeah, I'm not worried about it pretty much at all.
I mean, yeah, I completely agree. Carr and Hopkins and Gurley are his only three like really good players. I'd say Brait is a good, very solid tight end, and he's definitely a number one tight end. But yeah, I really like Rick's team going forward, but overall this week especially.
Yeah, I mean, it's grim to look at Scott's team. I mean, there are some good players there. Obviously, I think Hopkins is like the third ranked receiver this year.
Yeah.
He is third ranked, 15.5 points a game, which is really good. But I mean, outside of that, it's slim pickings. I agree with you, Veronica, that Brait is a solid tight end, but you know, he's a fourth-ranked tight end. I mean, you can have a good tight end, but if you don't have a good team around him, it's kind of...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
...worthless. So, you know, Rick, I know you're afraid of or kind of worried with Hopkins, but, I mean, they're really not going to put that much of a dent into your lead that you're probably going to get pretty early this week. But one thing I do want to ask you, Rick, is that every week that you're on this podcast, I have to suffer through you for 15 minutes talking about how your team isn't that good, or you're going to lose, or you're going to wake up and you're 40 points behind Luke and some bullshit like that. So I want to hear this week, because I think it's going to be hard for you, I want to know why you're going to lose this week.
Well, Alex Smith is facing a pretty tough Denver defense, and it's going to be the toughest defense that the Chiefs have faced all year. James White could easily become the number five back in New England and get no points. Steve Sarkisian is drunk in the booth, and so he will probably bench Julio Jones or play him on defense. Adam Thielen is playing the Browns in London, which can basically mean that he's going to have no receptions and then one rush for minus 5 yards and a fumble. And Kenny Stills is not good, but he's in my starting lineup anyway, so that won't go well. And I don't have a defense, so that's, I mean, points lost right there. And Justin Tucker is playing in the Thursday night game, which can basically only mean that the Ravens are going to get shut out. So that's six guys right there, real easy, that are going to put up less than 10. Feeling pretty solid about Brandon Cooks and Mark Ingram. But, I mean, outside of that, it's pretty slim pickings this week. Fournette, I'm without him for the second straight week. Maybe I'll think about playing Charcuterie West at my flex in desperation. I did pick up Tyler Lockett, so, you know, depending on how drunk Sarkisian is, I can tell maybe Sunday morning. I think I'll swap him in for Julio. Not feeling great this week.
I actually disagree completely. yeah, I mean, who's going to cover Julio this week? Buster Skrine, right? The guy that Brandon brought up earlier in the year. I mean, what kind of cornerback name is that? But I really like, you know, Julio. I like James White against the Chargers. Because if you remember, I think they've got Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa combined 16 sacks in their first seven games. So actually in a news conference with the Patriots and Tom Brady about 2 hours ago, they talked about getting the ball out quick and fast. So I think that's going to really benefit James White. I don't think it's really going to help Brandon Cooks, because he's, I think, the league leader in, you know, yards per attempt of catch or whatever it is. I think it's every pass he's getting is an average of like 19 yards or whatever. So I think it's really going to benefit James White. So I think that's good. Mark Ingram, he's been a stud since they traded away AP. And, you know, Thielen and Ertz are just bona fide stud, and they're in great matchups too, so...
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, you came across a gold mine in Zach Ertz, Rick.
Yeah.
He's just been incredible this year.
11th round pick, Zach Ertz, the number one tight end.
Go Eagles.
Yeah. That's amazing. And, I mean, he's going to tear up the Niners, I would imagine. Cooks, I think, will be solid. Julio is going to have a great game against the Jets. And I don't think the Denver defense is actually that great compared to previous years. So Alex Smith should have a solid game. But yeah, you got some pretty good matchups there. Who are you thinking of picking up for defense? You thinking of the Saints or something like that?
I might go Browns just because they've kind of got that feeling of a London team playing well. They held, you know, that pretty strong Titans offense to only 9 points or 12 or whatever it was, only field goals. So might go Browns. I think I'll put in a waiver claim for them.
Well, you better put in a lot of money. I think they're pretty going to be sought after. So
yeah, I've got $56 remaining, so I might go all in. I also might wait to post this podcast until after the waiver wire goes through, so Luke doesn't snake me again.
Well, I'm actually looking for defense, so I'm glad you didn't say that.
Oh, they're a free agent, so I could pick them up now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go for it. But go for it. Pick them up and then just give away your $56 anyway.
That's true.
Because it's kind of unfair to just take them. But I think there's not much to really talk about this with this matchup. You guys, I mean, I'm picking Rick by probably about 30. Rick, you've scored, I thought I had it written down, but I didn't. You've scored like 130 points the last 3 weeks, and you've been the second highest scoring team the last 3 weeks. So I think you're going to be pretty solid here. Safe victory by about 25 or 30.
Yeah, I agree. I think even if Hopkins goes for 30, I think Rick still wins by 30. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, in my six wins so far, I've scored over 100 points. When I lost to Jared, I only scored 99. And yeah, you were right. 132, 143, 130 the last 3 weeks.
Wait, so you're telling me your lowest scoring week has been 99?
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to win most weeks if you basically average like 100.
Well, that's what I said.
I think you need 110 to like almost guarantee victory each week.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. You're going to feel pretty good if your team can consistently score 100 or more, which is what his team has done, and that's why he's 6-1.
Yes, very good. Very good analysis.
Anal ISIS, actually, Pip. Thank you.
Sorry, anal ISIS. Well, actually, that's on Rick's podcast. On Pip's podcast, it's analysis. So.
Damn.
But if you have any good anal ISIS, then please feel free to just talk to Rick about it. Anyway, let's move on to the next matchup. Our second matchup to cover this week is going to be Brandon TCBY Hilton coming in at 5-2 in fourth place and has the fewest points scored against him in the league this season. He's led by Greg the Leg, who unfortunately is on bye this week after a stellar performance by a kicker in London, as we all predicted. Hey, Dak Prescott is a pretty good quarterback for Brandon. I wonder where he got him off waivers from.
Duncan.
Oh, yeah, that would be from Duncan, his opponent this week. Duncan is 2-5 and has only scored over 100 points once this season. Led by fantasy studs Paul Richardson, Wendell Smallwood, and Steelers star Juju, Antonio Brown is 100,000 times better than I am. If only you owned him and not me, Smith-Schuster. It's a mystery that Duncan isn't doing very well. I think we're all surprised by Duncan's struggles so far for the 2016 champion, and no one could have predicted this after Duncan's amazing draft that he got off to at the start of the season. I'm not upset that he traded Antonio Brown to Luke at all. Anyway, so, Fronik, let's start with you. What sticks out to you in this week's matchup for Brandon against Duncan?
Well, first of all, Dak Prescott, Devontae Freeman, and Christian McCaffrey. I really like all their matchups. We'll see how Dak does, but he's been lighting it up. I think he's like he might be the number three quarterback or something like that this year. But
Prescott's the fourth quarterback.
Fourth, okay. He's got some tough matchups in the wide receivers with T.Y., you know, obviously without Andrew Luck for the season, basically. Michael Crabtree, he's going to be going up against Buffalo, they've actually had a really stout defense and passing defense all year. And then Marvin Jones, which will be surprising to see if Golden Tate plays, if he plays. I don't like any of those matchups because Pittsburgh's been the best secondary this year thus far. So I think he's really going to need his quarterback and his running backs to carry him this week against a very good Duncan team.
Sorry, shouldn't laugh. I just kind of bouncing off that, Frohnik, when I look at Brandon's lineup, it seems so top heavy to me. I mean, even if he had a fully healthy lineup, once you get to past Crabtree, ignoring Hilton, if you just go Dak, Freeman, McCaffrey, and Crabtree, like those are four really solid players. But after that, it is kind of ugly for Brandon. And I mean, like I said in that intro, he's had the least points scored against him, so he's been fairly lucky in that he hasn't, you know, lost one of those weeks where he's scored really well. So I don't know. I'm just not convinced by Brandon's team that he should be 5-2.
Yeah, I feel like he's kind of like my team last year, where I just got lucky in a lot of matchups, and I shouldn't have had the record that I did. Sorry, Brandon, but it's been kind of tough sledding for his wide receivers, especially when he drafted Hilton over Green.
Yeah, I mean, that T.Y. Hilton pick is just, it's tough. It's really tough. He's been held afloat by those 2 weeks where he went off. He scored 24 in 1 week and 22 in week five, and they were against Cleveland and San Francisco. And the other weeks, he hasn't scored above 6.9 nice in any of them. So T.Y. Hilton is not the player he used to be.
Well, it's not really like it's his fault or anything like that.
What's that?
It's not his fault that his quarterback is like terrible. And I mean, he's had.
I'm not saying the player that he is worse. He's just not the fantasy player. Everyone predicted him to be. And I mean, yeah, it's because Andrew Luck got injured, which nobody knew about except for Jared. It's tough for Brandon, but he's at least Crabtree can go off every once in a while.
Yeah, and get three touchdowns.
Rick, what do you think?
Looking back to Duncan's team, he doesn't have a true starting running back on his roster. The closest thing is Wendell Smallwood, who got the start last week, and then because the Eagles ran away with it at halftime, it was just all Legu Boo Boo the entire second half. And I would imagine the same thing is going to happen against the Niners, so Smallwood would have to have a big first half to have an impact. And even last week, or on Monday night, he only got 4.9 points, where he was essentially the starter. You don't know what's going to happen with Oakland, with DeAndre Washington. He did get into the end zone at least. But I don't know if, I mean, the Buffalo defense is sixth against fantasy runs or running backs this year. So I don't even know if that's going to be a good play at his flex. Those are his only running backs as well. So that's pretty tough. I agree with what you guys say about like the top heaviness of Brandon's team. I think he's maybe got some better flex options with Marlon Mack, maybe Jermaine Kearse or something like that, but I kind of doubt it. I'm going to take Duncan in the upset. I think he's slightly favored by like 3 points. Duncan's the 4-point favorite, so it's, I mean, projection wise, I'm not
Brandon doesn't have a Brandon doesn't have a defense in yet.
True.
Bear in mind.
Right. Okay. So we'll call it about even. I'm taking Duncan with the upset. I think that his receivers are a little bit better than Brandon's. I think they just have better matchups. I don't know about Paul Richardson too much, but I think Deshaun and Chris Hogan could have big weeks. And then maybe if he plays Juju over DeAndre, I think I would do that. I'm going to take Duncan with the upset here.
Well, I have to disagree with the wide receivers part. Like, I still think that Brandon has definitely a lot better receivers, but he just has some terrible matchups this week. And Duncan's matchups are not too bad against the Chargers, and Carolina, I don't think, has been that great versus the pass. So I'm going to go TCBY Hilton. I think he takes it in a close one, and that should make the standings a little bit more interesting again.
Well, I'm going to pick Brandon also. I think this is going to be a low-scoring, kind of ugly matchup. You know, Brandon may tip it with, like, a little over 100 points. But Duncan just not scoring that many. I mean, Duncan's running backs and flex, I can't see any of them scoring any more than 10, unless somehow they all get some goal line carries. But they're just, I mean, they're all guys in running back by committee, you know, timeshare running backs, whereas Brandon has Freeman, who, it's going to be interesting, Freeman against Coleman, to see which one, you know, does better in their matchup against the Jets for the Falcons. But McCaffrey's got a good matchup against Tampa Bay, which I think Carolina will exploit, and McCaffrey will put up a lot of points. I think Prescott puts up a lot of points. Marlon Mack actually out-carried Frank Gore last week for the first time, I think, so maybe Frank Gore's on the back end of his career finally. And I mean,
Mack only had 5 carries, though.
He out-touched him, not out-carried him.
Oh, out-touched him. Sorry, my mistake. So
you are right, though.
I am. but yeah, so, I mean, they were down. So if Indianapolis go down early in that game, maybe he will get some carries. I mean, this is a pretty ugly matchup. Jordan Reed for Duncan finally had a good week. But I don't know if he's going to be able to do that again. So yeah, maybe this game comes down to quarterbacks. And maybe Tom Brady hooks up with Hogan a lot. I don't know. I'm going to pick Brandon because I really don't like Duncan's team, and I don't like the fact that he dropped Marshawn Lynch when he had a kicker that he could have dropped. He could have dropped Eric Decker. He could have dropped Benjamin Watson. I mean, I don't care. You know, or Travis Benjamin. I mean, there are just so many bad players. Like, why would you drop Marshawn Lynch, who, when he's playing, is at least a decent guy that you could fill in?
No, not really. I mean, you probably should have dropped the kicker, like, instead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't drop Marshawn Lynch unless he's injured. You at least have him on your roster. Like, Marshawn Lynch is going to get picked up by someone tonight or whenever those waivers clear, because at least he has a little bit of value. You never know. He might go off. He might, you know, find his legs again. I just don't like that drop for Duncan, and it made me mad because he's from Oakland, and I just love Oakland. So yeah. Anyway,
I mean, wouldn't that be ironic? Wouldn't that be ironic, though, that Dak would win it for Brandon when Duncan?
It would
we roasted him that whole podcast, and then, you know, he's gonna lose to Dak Prescott, who he dropped. Which, I mean, I agree. I think it's gonna be a very close, low scoring matchup. I think it'll be like, you know, low 90s, or like, you know, the winner will. Whoever, if someone of the two teams makes it to 100, I think they win it.
Yeah, I think 100 is the threshold, and if Brandon is 6-2, maybe I should start taking him more seriously. So anyway, Rick, you got anything more, or should we move on to the next one?
Yeah, the fantasy pro scores in this one are pretty tight. Duncan's got an 87, good enough for 7th, and then Brandon coming in 11th place with an 82.5. So fantasy pros, a little bit favors Duncan in this one, probably again because Brandon doesn't have a defense, so maybe with the defense it is a little bit tighter, but I'm sticking with my Duncan pick. I think he gets the upset.
Wow, those are some great arbitrary numbers you got there, Rick.
Thank you.
So that's on a scale of 0 to 100, 100 being like, what does 100 mean? That they got the best team, or that all their players are great? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
It's just like, essentially, player position rankings for the week. Like, what position, like, of your wide receivers, you've got number 1, 2, 3, 4, or whatever like that for your three guys, or where do they rank? And then they do that with all the positions. And I think they top, like, the bottom end is, like, 12 or something like that. And then they just, like, average them out, and they come out with a number.
6.
Yeah.
I thought it would be more, like, based on matchups and then also rankings, right?
Well, yeah, it's like position rankings for the week based on the matchup.
Okay. So exactly what I thought. Okay, cool.
All right, sweet. Well, that was some good stat crunching there, Rick. Thanks for
You're welcome.
Thanks for the Fantasy Pros numbers. Anyway, so now we'll move on to our third matchup of the week between two teams that made a trade a few weeks ago. So it'll be a good test to see who won that trade. Dorial Green Eggs and Beckham, that is my team, comes in at 3-4, winning all 3 weeks where I was the highest scorer in the league and losing all four where I wasn't. I am fully at full mast erect for my squad and have been very unlucky so far to be on the outside of the playoffs looking in my opinion. I'll give credit to Tim since he has won 3 out of 4 weeks after a brutal 0-3 start, and this is a very important matchup for playoff positioning as we have identical records despite me scoring 140 points more than Tim on the season. Fortunately, Tim has some of his most important players out on a bye this week. Rick, where do you see this matchup going?
So one of the things I was going to talk about was the trade bowl, as I'm calling it, with Wentz and Dookie taking on CJ and Moncrief. I'm very surprised as well with Alvin Kamara and how like he's jumped into a top 20 fantasy running back after the AP trade. I didn't think he would be anything more below like a flex play in some weeks, but he's probably like RB2 territory, like Tim's got him. I don't know. It's an interesting matchup. You guys both have, I mean, other than DeMarco, and maybe Rishard Matthews, like it's basically full squad for both of you guys. I don't think you would be starting either of the two guys who are on bye for your team, Pip. So it's going to be an important matchup for sure. Who comes down to it. I don't really like Tim's wide receiver matchups this week. I'm not a big fan of Terrell Pryor or Dante Moncrief, and Amari Cooper had the big week last week. but I don't think he can do that. Excuse me.
What the hell was that? You couldn't have been all just right.
No, I couldn't do a little cough. I had a big frog in my throat. I had to get it out. I don't think Amari Cooper comes. I mean, like 38 points is incredible for a wide receiver. I think he drops back into like the 9.5, 12-point range against Buffalo, and that's probably on a good week considering Buffalo gives up. They've gotten worse against passing as the weeks have gone on, but I still think their secondary is a little tough, especially on the road. And Pip, your team's pretty solid there. Dez Bryant has definitely worked out as like a wide receiver too, coming in, and the Nelson Aguilar pickup was also a big one as well.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the Eagles with get Fronik's opinion on that in a second, but I mean the Aguilar pickup was great. I mean, he has scored a touchdown in 3 straight weeks, and I think I bid $12 for him, and there were about 4 or 5 bids that were at 10 or less, and so I just got him. I think he would definitely be worth a lot more now, but he's been very good because I had a gaping wide hole, like a fourth floor girl in Spiller, wide hole on my third wide receiver. So that was important for me to fill that. And I think I've got a pretty solid option there with Nelson Aguilar. Just to go to that trade, after a week, obviously Wentz went off, and he's now the second-ranked quarterback in the league, and Duke Johnson he got me pretty really solid 10.1 last week, and he's a 13th ranked running back, which is actually better than what CJ Anderson is, who is the 20th ranked running back. So I mean on paper right now, that trade for me just seems really really one-sided. I didn't necessarily think that when I made the trade, but after just 1 week, maybe it's just because Wentz went off last week, but I don't know, I'm feeling really good about that right now.
Yeah, so I guess my one question for you was, are you going to be worried about your former guys going off against their former team?
No, not really. I mean, Kansas City, I think, will get a lead against Denver, and Denver will abandon the run like they usually have, so I'm not expecting too much out of CJ Anderson. And Moncrief, really, he's not going to do anything that spectacular as long as Jacoby Brissett isn't quarterback. I'm a little worried that Duke Johnson has a tough matchup against Minnesota, so I don't know how well he's going to do, but I think that will be balanced out by Carson Wentz going against San Francisco. So I think this week my players that I got from Tim will outscore Tim's. And what do you think, Veronica?
Well, I think it's gonna be a little difficult to see it otherwise, just because you've got a quarterback, so you've kind of got to weigh that. But the other thing too, though, is that Carson Wentz, he's going to be going against San Francisco, but it'll be, you know, dependent upon how the game's going, really, in my eyes. Because, I mean, say they're up, 28-3 or something like that at halftime, they're just going to run Blunt and Smallwood, I think, the rest of the game. You know, they're not going to...
Did you say 48-3?
I said 28-3.
Oh, 28-3.
No, the Eagles are not that good. Okay, come on. but yeah,
hey, best team in the NFL, man.
Yeah, of course. I thought it was a pretty fair trade at the time. Depending on Andrew Luck's, status, and then I think right after you guys made that trade, they basically announced that he had a setback, and it's reports are starting to come out that it seems like he's just going to be out for the rest of the year. So I think that could be definitely one-sided if you get a, top five quarterback out of the trade, as well as getting, who did you get? Oh, you got Duke Johnson, who's a, he's a good flex option, because the Browns are always going to be down. So, and the quarterbacks, it doesn't seem like they are good enough to throw it 10 yards down the field. So they'll just do a little 2-yard dump off and see what he can get for them, so.
Duke Johnson leads the Browns in targets and receptions, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and in a half-point PPR league, that's, that's going to be something. That's going to be worth something.
Especially for a team that's losing all the time. I don't care if it's Ben Hogan or Deshaun Kizer or, fucking Tim Couch back there. I mean,
Kevin Hogan, dude. Stanford alumni.
Yeah, well, Stanford, yeah.
Go Stanford, dude, don't you know?
Bring back JFF.
Yeah. Who?
Johnny fucking football.
Oh, yeah. Jay Footy, man. I think Duke Johnson is a very solid flex play for me. Anyway, back over to Tim's team. I don't want to talk about my team too much. I actually do, but we can get back to my team later. Yeah. I caught Tim on a very good week. With DeMarco out, Matthews out, and Rick, you didn't mention him in his buys, but I mean, Evan Ingram has been really, really good so far. He's the fifth-ranked tight end this season. He scored 16.7 and 15 the last 2 weeks against Denver and Seattle. So he's clearly the number one option now in New York. So I think I lucked out with that. Tim's team has been doing well recently, but I don't think he can overcome those buys against me, who I've got a fully strong squad.
Who do you think has been more unlucky regarding their team? Your fantasy team with the scoring output that you've put and then ending up with the 3-4 record, or Sterling Shepard, who literally gets the biggest break of his career and can't stay healthy?
I've been more unlucky. For sure, because Sterling Shepard is making millions and millions of dollars. He'll be fine.
Is he making that much money?
He's making hundreds of thousands of dollars. He'll be fine. I mean, does it really matter, Rick?
A little bit.
I mean, he was a second-round pick, I think, so he's got to be making, like $1 million or something, right? At least.
At least.
$1 million a year, sorry. But,
$720,000.
Okay, well, there you go. Never mind. But I think...
720,000
and 720,000 and $208 a year is his base salary for this year.
So you could probably combine everybody's salaries in the league, or salaries, pay, whatever you want to call it, for the next 3 years, and we wouldn't even match that in one. So I think we'll be fine, except for Mike. Obviously, Mike's making a ton of money now. He's a lawyer. So
Andrew's a doctor.
Yeah.
And Andrew's a doctor. True.
Duncan's got his DFI album, which is top of the charts.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you keep proving me wrong.
Jared works for Google now or something.
Yeah, Jared works for Microsoft.
Jordan doesn't work at the Duck Store, so he's going to be making more money.
True.
Hawaiian Times about to go national, so I think you're wrong. I think the answer probably should have been Sterling Shepard.
Oh, Hawaiian Time CEO Tim Thompson. Can we talk about my team a little bit more?
No, I think we need to move on in the matchups. We're 4 hours into this podcast, and three of them have been on your team. So
we're not okay. We're 35 minutes into this podcast. I just want you guys to try and poke a hole into my roster, other than the bench. I know the bench is bad, but yeah. Where am I weak?
I personally don't trust Dez Bryant. There's just something about him, as I've said before, where like I feel like if I owned him, he would go for 3 points every week.
Is it because he's black, Rick?
No, it's because I don't trust him in that offense. That is not something that
I didn't know. I didn't know we condoned racist comments on here.
We don't, and nothing happened. I don't know. Mike Evans is a little up and downy. He does get plenty of targets, but he's not getting. I mean, he's topped out at 7 receptions on the year, which is pretty solid. I think Carlos Hyde as a number one maybe ends up being a problem if the Niners turn away from him. But you do have Breida for the backup. And then your tight end has kind of been an issue as well with Hunter Henry and Charles Clay. So,
I think Pip's team is very solid. And I said, the last time I was on the podcast that I had catching feels for Pip's team. And I like going forward, but Wentz, you never know what's going to happen with that, game. They might be up by a lot, and they just stop passing. And then Carlos Hyde and Kareem Hunt are they have very tough matchups against two top 7 run defenses. So I actually think I might go Tim in the upset on this one, just because I like Tim's matchups a little bit better with... I mean, I guess that kind of depends on C.J. Anderson because, if they want to slow down the game and keep Kansas City's offense off the field, which is something that could be, I could see that for sure, just because that offense has just been electric thus far. But I think it's going to be dependent upon the running backs, really, to kind of see what goes on with this matchup.
Wow, Pronik, I was so close to finishing, and you just blue-balled me there. I was loving all that talk, and then you're like, no,
Pip's going to win. Let me come in here for the finish, no pun intended. I'm taking Pip. I'm taking your team. I think your wide receivers are going to end up being a lot better this week. I don't think Amari Cooper is going to go for 40. Dante Moncrief isn't good. I don't like Terrell Pryor. I think you've got a great matchup with Aguilar going up against the Niners as well as Wentz. I think you get a very important win this week.
Very important.
Terrell Pryor projected 3.4 points this week, and I am going to obviously pick myself to win. Also, in a pretty solid, hopefully I'm the high-scoring team again, because that means I'm definitely going to win. Anyway, so now we move on to the fourth matchup. We're on the back three of our matchups this week, and we move on to Luke versus Andrew. Luke is coming off a tough loss to Rick by 5 points and is rewarded with a matchup against 2-5 Andrew. A loss here for Andrew could relegate him to the constipation bracket, while Luke looks to bounce back and set himself up for a deep playoff run. My first question goes to Rick.
Hi.
You beat Luke last week. Did he say anything after your loss or after you beat him?
I actually did not text Luke to say anything about the matchup. He did text me beforehand, I think like just after kickoff, and said, "I'm pretty nervous. Worst of luck to you and your team." So I think that was a little bit of karma getting back to him, just because I wish everyone best of luck for their team every single week. So I think that had a little something to do with it. But no, we did not talk after Ertz got into the end zone and took the lead in our matchup.
Damn. Well, I hope Luke's all right. I mean, that was a tough loss for him. Another second close loss for Luke. I'll start out with a little bit of analysis. I'm not sure how happy Luke is with this team. I know I wouldn't be that happy with it. I mean, obviously he's 5-2, so he's done really well to get to this point with two close losses. And it's kind of scary because I don't think this team that Luke has is good enough to win the league. I think he's got some very good players with Ezekiel Elliott, obviously, who just scored 40, and Antonio Brown, thanks, Duncan. I mean, those guys are great. And Travis Kelce is a really, really, really good tight end. But I think Luke still needs to make some moves to get this team to where he wants to be, and especially if Zeke is ever suspended.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree, because Javarius Allen and Joe Mixon are okay at best, and you have no idea what you're going to get out of McFadden and or Alfredo Morris when they come back, or if assuming Zeke is suspended and we find out after this week. He desperately needs an RB2, and he continually sends me trades, Ingram for Mixon and like a couple other throw-ins, and I'm not going to do it, Luke, because I don't want Mixon on my team. He needs an RB2 desperately now. He's okay. Not desperately now, because he's okay because he's got Zeke. But if he loses Zeke, he goes from basically just having Antonio Brown on his team and Travis Kelce. And like those are going to be his two big guys. So, yeah, I would agree that he's not happy with his team.
Yeah, because, I mean, Demaryius Thomas is the 41st ranked receiver. And, I mean, after Antonio Brown, what do you have left? I mean, Devontae Parker's questionable. He's a 62nd ranked receiver. Ted Ginn, I think he must have just picked him up. He's had really two really good weeks, actually, Ted Ginn, but I'm not sure how much he's going to sustain that. Obviously, Ted Ginn's in a great offense, but there's so many pounds to feed over there. It's scary that Luke is 5-2 and the third highest scoring team in the league, I believe, in terms of the second highest scoring team in the league in terms of points scored. He scored more than I have.
Yeah, he is second.
Yeah, but he's also got the third fewest points scored against him. So that helps for when he has had his less than stellar weeks. He's still been able to win. So I don't know, Fronik, what's your take on this? Luke's team and his matchup.
I like his matchup, but I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Zeke going forward, just because, you know, Rick mentioned, you know, if Zeke gets suspended, he's got one star on his team with, you know, a disappointing Matt Ryan. Sorry, Rick.
No, he's not been good.
Yeah, he's been terrible. And Demaryius Thomas has not been great either, just because he's got no one throwing to him. I mean, technically, he's got a person throwing to him, but that person is not good at all. It's kind of weird. I'll look at Luke's team and think, this doesn't look like a Luke team. Like, it doesn't look like a juggernaut. It doesn't look that good, but then he just keeps on scoring. So,
It helps to have Zeke and Antonio Brown and Travis Kelce, because those three guys can carry you to wins. I mean, Zeke could put up a 25, Antonio Brown could put up 25, and Kelce could put up 20 or 15, and you know, there you go, you got 70 points. And then the other guys, all they have to do is 5 or 10, and you know, you're at 110, and you know, there you go, you got to win. So that's how he's done it, I guess. I haven't really analyzed how well he's done each week, specifically each week. It is interesting, though, Matt Ryan at quarterback, fun fact, Jared Goff, Josh McCown, and Jacoby Brissett have all scored more fantasy points than Matt Ryan this season.
That's fun.
Yeah, I've been kind of surprised that he hasn't, you know, tried to trade for a quarterback or even pick up a quarterback earlier on in the season.
He's got Stafford. I mean, I would probably, if I'm in Luke's situation, I don't want to play Stafford because he could easily turn into a pick machine, which is what Matt Ryan's become. But Matt Ryan's in probably a better offense, or should be in a better offense, than Stafford. So
he also has a better matchup this week. They're playing the Jets.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So going forward with the matchup, though, I like the Falcons' offense against the Jets. We'll see how that goes. I like Ezekiel Elliott, of course. Joe Mixon, he should be pretty good against the Colts. The Colts have actually been pretty decent against the run, I think.
But no,
I think
they're
31st against running back points. But when it comes to production and stuff like that, they've been actually decent against when it comes to yardage. But Demaryius, we'll see how he does if he bounces back against that Kansas City offense, against that Kansas City defense. Sorry. Ted Ginn, I was thinking about picking him up, and I was like, I'll pick up Robbie Anderson. You know, he's a better option. And then Ted Ginn goes for 17. So you never know with Ted Ginn. He's a kind of a boom or bust option. So we'll see against that Chicago secondary. Travis Kelce's a great tight end. He was the second tight end taken in the draft. So I like Luke in this matchup. We'll see how Lamar Miller does against Seattle, Cam Newton, and Kelvin Benjamin against that Tampa Bay defense, because I think that could carry Andrew if he somehow wants to pull up an upset. It's going to be dependent upon that Cam Newton, Kelvin Benjamin connection, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you that Luke is going to win this week. He's going to get a fairly comfortable victory. I think Luke could probably score over 95 and he's guaranteed a win. But I think he'll score around 110 and pull off the win. I mean, looking at Andrew's team, Cam Newton has been so inconsistent, but he does have a good matchup against Tampa Bay. Lamar Miller is incredibly average.
Yes.
He's got 17, 18, 14, 19, 15, and 15 carries, which is great. But he's got 65, 61, 60, or 56, 75, 74, and 41 yards, and only one touchdown on the season. So really nothing that spectacular. Chris Thompson is probably his best running back, which I'm surprised that he's been able to keep that up. I think when Fronicky made that trade with him, with Andrew, we thought that you were going to win that deal, but Chris Thompson's been really solid. But Antonio Brown is better than all three of Andrew's receivers combined, in my opinion. And yeah, Frank Gore, like we already touched on it a little bit, you know, he might, his usage is going down a bit. And Andrew's got Jordy on bye. He's got Delaney Walker on bye. He's got Adrian Peterson on bye. So I don't know, I'm thinking a pretty solid win here for Luke. And yeah, how about you, Rick?
Yeah, I guess I didn't pay the closest of attention to who was on bye, because I thought basically it was two full squad teams. But Luke is a 22-point favorite in this one. I mean, Jordy Nelson is a better option than Danny Amendola. Maybe Sammy Watkins, if he's available, definitely gets in at flex. Maybe AP again gets into the starting lineup. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I don't think Will Fuller is going to get like his two receptions or two touchdowns or something like that against Seattle. That's going to be a really fun game to watch, though, like real football wise. Probably won't turn out a lot of fantasy points. But yeah, Luke's team this week is very strong, especially Zeke and Brown. And I think Demaryius gets a bounce back week as well.
I agree.
You think Demaryius gets a bounce back week?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to go worse than 1.9. I'm definitely rock of the week. He's going to score probably at least 3.
Okay, well, fair enough. Do you guys think Andrew's going to change his team name, or is he going to rock with Flon Miller for another week?
I've got over under 2.5 name changes by next podcast.
Oh, damn.
Oh, wow. Have you guys ever had Flon?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Like once. I thought it was okay.
I feel like I've had it, but I'm not sure. It looks like I've eaten it, but I don't remember eating it.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what his picture is. It's like a face of like Flan, I'm guessing, but I'm wondering how he got that. Did he make that or something? Or did you guys notice that, or am I the only one?
It also doesn't really look like Von Miller.
Well, yeah, that was the thing that tripped me out, because I didn't know if it was pronounced Flan. I thought it was Flan. So
what? I feel like people, you would have known that. Just because you know weird trivia stuff, by the way. So
it's weird. It's weird trivia to know how to pronounce a word. I'm just not very smart, Phronic.
No, you're very smart, and that's why I figured you would know. That's all. All right.
No, I know. I'm telling you, I'm not very smart. Anyway.
Oh damn.
Yeah. So Andrew will be 2-6, and also relegated to the constellation bracket. So basically right now we've said that Rick, you're going to extend your lead. Scott's going to fall into the cellar. Brandon's going to extend his lead. Duncan's going to fall into the cellar. At least this is what I'm saying. I'm going to beat Tim. Luke is going to extend his lead to a higher end of the table, and Andrew is going to fall into the cellar. And now we move on to a very tight matchup between two teams heading in different directions. Mike comes into this week having lost his last two games, coming back to earth after his fast start in the league. But we shouldn't, it should be no surprise, as Mike has always had trouble finishing. Got him. So it'll be interesting to see if Mike bounces back or fades out of the playoff picture. Frone, on the other hand, is up on the up with back-to-back victories and has scored 125 and 123 in those matches, respectively, and is now all the way up into fifth place. Fronik, let's get your thoughts, where you're at with your team and this matchup, and just what you're thinking about the season in general.
Well, I just want to relegate this, you know, 30-second time frame just to Jared. I am very apologetic that I had to go and win. That was a very tough way to lose. I wish I had just, you know, somehow blown you out of the water. But I don't know, for all of you that were not paying attention to that Monday night game and who kicked, you know, how many field goals in that game, basically Jared needed his kicker to get him, I think it was 15 points. And he was, the Philadelphia offense had the ball with a minute left. They had been, you know, up all game basically, and they just were going to kick a field goal just because Washington was calling timeouts and trying to stop the clock to somehow come back. Well, Jake Elliott, their Philadelphia kicker, kicks it and it hits it off the upright, and I don't lose, because if it goes through that upright, somehow Jared comes back with Gronk getting 6.6 and his kicker getting him, I don't know what he would have gotten at that point, but
15?
He would have gotten over 15, yeah, and he would have won. But I ended up winning, which was, my heart was beating really fast, and I was like, oh my gosh, of all things, this is how I'm going to lose. So I'm sorry, Jared, but I'm happy that I'm 4-3.
Wow, good for you, Frank.
Well, yeah. So this matchup,
another great story.
Yeah, I'm hoping you guys are all fast asleep right now. So moving forward with this matchup, I actually don't feel too good, just because I've got Fitzgerald and Shepard on a bye, and Golden Tate is projected to be out. So I'm down to Doug Baldwin and people that are not good at football. Jordan Matthews on that Buffalo offense has been very underwhelming, and Robbie Anderson is kind of a hit or miss option. So running with the tight end double tight end train this week. And I like McCoy and Breeze. McKinnon's been very solid. Even in a hot hand kind of situation where they're kind of splitting carries evenly, it's obvious to everyone watching that he's the more talented running back, I think. So we'll see. Doug Baldwin's going to go against that Houston defense, so hopefully that game's kind of a shootout, kind of like that Tennessee-Seattle game a few weeks ago. But I think I like some of my matchups. It's just going to be kind of dependent upon Jordan Matthews and Robbie Anderson.
So, Fronig, I have a question for you. What do you think the Carson Palmer injury will have an effect on Larry Fitzgerald? Obviously, I would guess that that will hurt you a lot in the long run, and he will really, really kind of fall off from where he has been.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't project him to go, you know, an average like 14 points a game, but I still think he's going to be, you know, that wide receiver 3 or wide receiver 2 kind of category. I don't think he's going to score 22 the rest of the year. But I do think, just because he usually plays a majority of his snaps in the slot, and with, I can't remember their quarterback, but he's bad.
Is it Ryan Lindley?
No, I was going to say John Skelton.
Drew Stanton.
Ah, Michigan State alum.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Yes. Good home run hitter, by the way. I think he's going to be... Yeah. I think he might be doing a lot of you know, quick passes just to kind of get it out of there. Because they're going to obviously try and rely on Adrian Peterson, I think, going forward. And that offensive line's not great either. So I think that actually Fitzgerald could still retain some wide receiver two value just based on the production. Because, I mean, let's be honest, that quarterback's not going to be able to throw 30 yards down the field to, you know, a fast streaking J.J. Nelson or John Brown. So I think of all the wide receivers in that offense, I think definitely Fitzgerald's, you know, the best remaining one. And I think he's going to have decent value. I don't think it's going to be great value.
Okay. So, Rick, what are your thoughts on Mike's team?
Well, it's a little tough to look at without a defense or a kicker in the lineup.
Yeah, it's hard to make a prediction when he does that.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the defense and the kicker are there, but, you know, just they're not in the lineup, so I don't really believe it. Jay Ajayi needs to get into the end zone. Like, he's gotten three straight weeks over 25 carries, and, I mean, this Miami offense, like, now without Jay Cutler, probably is going to end up running the ball a little bit more, because I can't actually believe that Matt Moore is a starting quarterback in the league, and also for Jared's team is getting the start. But Jay Ajayi's got to get into the end zone at some point. Like, he should be having a better year than what he's done. Legu Bubu, I don't know what to make of him. Like, he's getting a lot of carries, but in mop-up time, and it's just for, like, no yardage. Alshon probably should be doing better, and Tyreek Hill has been, like, an insanely good wide receiver since, I mean, number two in the league. And Jimmy Graham, like, I think has, like, five touchdowns the entire time he's been in Seattle or something like that. And hasn't been so good. So I don't know. It's an interesting team. It's just like a lot of okay players all mushed together. And then there's Tyreek Hill, who at wide receiver three, just like, I don't know why he's the wide receiver three. Just cause that's a little funny to me. So,
well, that's what he selected him at. He selected Thomas and then Jeffrey and then Hill in the later rounds. I think he got Hill in like the fifth round or something.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like by now, like, ESPN should have auto moved them up to like wide receiver one or something like that.
Well, I don't know how they order that, but I mean, it really doesn't matter. They're all there, and Tyreek Hill is Mike's wide receiver one. Fronik, is Alshon Jeffrey still the number one receiver in Philadelphia, or do you think Nelson Agholor has kind of taken that over, and Mike can't really rely on Alshon that well?
I actually like Alshon going forward. If you want to trade him to me, Mike, I'd gladly take him.
Well, you are leader of his fan club.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the point. But he's had some really tough matchups. Pretty terrible, actually. He's had to go against, I think it was Janoris Jenkins. He's had to go against, Patrick Peterson and a couple other really good secondaries. So, I think it's been really tough on the number one wide receiver for Philadelphia. I think Alshon's still that number one target guy. I just think that, you know, Agholor has actually taken advantage of those matchups. I actually think Aguilar's value will go down. I mean, his touchdown rate is just going to regress. I mean, we know that. He's not going to score five touchdowns out of every seven games. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. My opinion on that is that they've kind of locked down Jeffrey, and Agholor has been the main guy that's benefited from that, but because he's in the slot and kind of an easy target for Wentz to hit. But I think eventually they'll build up some chemistry. I mean, obviously, I hope they don't for personal interest. But I think just looking at these teams right now, on paper, Mike has a better team than you, Fronik, but at least this week, you know, in terms of players.
Sure.
I think it'll be very close. Mike will definitely win at receiver, but Fronik, I think you definitely have the edge at running back. So,
I think what will be really interesting will be that San Francisco Eagles game, just based on, you know, are they going to run it a lot, or is it going to be actually a closer game and they'll actually be tossing to Jeffrey a little bit more. I would actually go with the former and think that Blunt's going to be running the ball and might get a touchdown. But, I mean, Ajayi's been not that great. I mean, I really liked Mike's team right after the draft. and, you know, a few weeks in, but with Ajayi and Montgomery both, you know, going downhill, his team's gotten a little weaker, I think, for sure.
Yeah. I think they're not playing this week, but I think that Jags D is going to be a huge part of your success going forward, Fronik. And,
yeah, you were hoping I was going to drop him, weren't you?
No, I didn't think you were going to drop him. I thought that was a smart move to keep him. I mean, they've been incredible. They're averaging 14.6 points a game.
Yeah.
So, and they've scored 29 and 26 one week. So they're going to be key to your success. Obviously, you were without them this week. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to pick Mike this week just because you're not fully healthy. And Mike, for the most part, is... I mean, Ty Montgomery, he's not the number one running back in Green Bay anymore, so I'm not sure if Mike would play him anyway. So I think Mike's receivers do really well. They've got some good matchups there. I think Jay Ajayi gets a touchdown against Baltimore. I think Russ does all right. And I think it's close. I mean, you guys are very evenly matched.
Yeah, I think it's probably the closest.
I think Mike gets the win.
I think it's probably the closest matchup of the week. Just because, I mean, I've got two wide receivers that are not that great, and he's got, you know, LeGarrette Blount, who's been up and down. So I really didn't want to choose it, but I think Mike's going to win it. My gut's telling me. It's a big week, and I think this is a big week for everybody just because of separation. I think we're going to really see.
Yeah.
I think we're really going to see that top six or seven teams for the playoffs, and then the rest are just going to be out of it, especially what happens between yours and Tim's game.
Yeah. Also, Michael Thomas didn't practice today with a knee injury, so he might, if he doesn't play, which he probably will, but if he doesn't play, that would be very important. Have you guys ever looked at Michael Thomas's picture and thought he looks like the really handsome Squidward in that one spot?
Yeah, he actually does. And Rick's dead, by the way.
Oh, that's amazing.
I don't think I was the first person to ever think that, because I looked that up on, I Googled it after, and there were a few tweets about it. So I'm not the first one to think that, but I mean, the more I look at it, the more I really think it's just handsome Squidward playing wide receiver.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay. Bring it together. Rick, you got to pick. Just say a name and we can move on.
Yeah, we're 3 for 3 with Mike here. I think his wide receivers have a big edge, as well as what's going to go on in the Minnesota backfield with McKinnon and Martavius. Is it going to be McKinnon or Martavius who gets more carries? So that'll be interesting to pay attention to as well. But yeah, I'm taking Mike. We're going 3 for 3 on this one.
Damn.
All righty, then. Good stuff. Sorry, Fronik. But you didn't pick him anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Anyway, moving on to our last and probably not least matchup of the week, in my opinion. Jordan against Jareed. At 5-2, Jordan has been solid, but is coming off a season low scoring week in which he beat Andrew. Jared's roller coaster season continued with a heartbreaking close loss to Fronay, dropping him to 3-4 and making the run to the playoff a little bit harder. Jared is without the second coming of Christ, Marcus Mariota, but has two favorable matchups for his stud running backs. Jordan has a nearly fully healthy roster with minimal buys. Rick, let's get your initial thoughts on this one.
I cannot fucking believe that Matt Moore is getting a fantasy start in our league. I cannot believe that the waiver wire has become what it was, that Matt fucking Moore is getting a start this week against Baltimore on a Thursday night game. Like, I just...
Well, this is what I said about using your waiver wire bucks early. Because, I mean, right now, there's nothing on the waiver wire except for Marshawn Lynch that's actually worth grabbing, you know? So Matt Moore, let's see what he does.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on as well. It's the number 3 and 5 fantasy pro teams this week, and they're both in the high 90s. So I definitely think this is our big matchup of the week. And yeah, without our Lord and Savior Marcus, I mean, these are two full squad teams. I don't think Jordan would be starting anybody. Maybe Devontae Adams gets in for Jordan's team, who's on bye.
Yeah, I don't know if you start Devontae Adams now that Rodgers is out, but go ahead, continue on.
No, I mean, I've liked Jared's team from the start, like calling them the ultimate Aaron Payne in the arse team. I mean, Le'Veon and Jordan Howard and Gronk, if they all get together and go off, and Le'Veon looks like he's gotten like the rust off from early season, and he's in midseason form. Gronk is always a threat to go for 30. Amir Abdullah is a legit number one starter who's slowly actually looking at his numbers right now. His production's gone down a lot in attempts the past 2 weeks. But yeah, Jared's team, I mean, Garcon is a target machine. Jarvis Landry is a target machine. So yeah, I like Jared's team. Jordan's team also, again, very strong. Like, it's another team that, as I keep going through the matchups every week, that it's like, holy shit, how are all of these guys on one team? Like, how did he pull this together?
Yeah. Well, I know the full might of Jared's team. He scored about 150 against me. So
yeah,
you don't have to tell me about how strong Jared's roster is. Pierre Garçon actually has better numbers. He's better receptions, targets, yards and fantasy points this year than Julio Jones. So,
oh, that's fun.
Yeah, that's a fun fact for you, Rick.
Julio with all of one more touchdown, though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's the one stat he hasn't beat in, but it was a really nice touchdown last week. So I think these are two very good teams at running back. Dependent on which Melvin Gordon shows up for Jordan. Obviously, Jared, I think, has the best running backs. Well, I think his running backs are a little bit better than mine. I'll concede that. I think Matt Moore is a very, very interesting start. I know the waiver wire is thin, but, I mean, that is really, really desperate, I would say, pick on a Thursday night game away from home, Matt Moore.
Yeah.
First game starting of the season. I'm not sure how much that will get Jared. So, but other than that, the rest of his team looks really solid. Obviously, Cole Beasley in his third wide receiver is not exactly what you'd like. He's fairly solid, but he's not that great. He might be good for about 45 yards and a touchdown, I guess. And as for Jordan's team, fairly full squad. Jared Cook has been really good this season. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but he's only the 10th ranked. He's actually not been that good. Never mind. He just had a really good week last week. That's my mistake. It's going to be a close matchup.
I really like this matchup. I think this is the best matchup, like you guys said, of the week. But Matt Moore and Gronkowski, I think, are going to be the X factors for Jared and for this whole matchup, I think, just because he needs Matt Moore to exceed his projected 11 points. I think Jordan just got lucky and caught Jared at a bad week just because he's going to be without Marcus, and he's also going to be without, you know, Randall Cobb. And Jared knew this going into the season that he wasn't going to be that deep at wide receiver, but I mean, that's the price to pay when you have, you know, Bell and Howard and Gronk on your team. So,
chime in on those running backs. Do you think Jared should make a trade? Trade one of his running backs. I mean, maybe not Bell or Howard, but he could probably trade Abdullah or Aaron Jones for a fairly solid wide receiver.
I was actually going to say that too, because maybe Aaron Jones has hit his peak. Maybe he's, you know, I mean,
maybe you could sell a high on him.
Yeah,
Jared.
Yeah. Abdullah and Jones, once Jones comes back, I mean, he's not going to be able to start both of those. He's going to have four good, very solid, two very elite running backs. And, you know, especially with Randall Cobb having Brett Hundley throw to him, middling quarterback play. So I think that'd be a very interesting thing to see if he does somehow, you know, make a trade for a wide receiver. But Jared's not one to make trades.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Jared just feasts in the draft and lets it go from there. So I don't know. I mean, if it was me, I would be trying to trade one of them or two of them for a good wide receiver.
I mean, I've sent.
I
think I've sent Jared like two trades this whole year, and he just lets it sit just because he just wants he just wants everyone to know that he's not going to trade, just because
it's
he's so confident. It is, you know, very aggravating. And I have to admit, I did do that a little bit with you, Pip, last week. I just wanted to see if you would text me, and you did. So, I really like Jordan's team.
Didn't it include Aguilar?
No, I'd have to go back and look.
It definitely included Aguilar, because I remember I threw in an eagle in there for you.
Yeah, everyone's trying to take advantage of the other person's team usually. So,
yeah,
that would have been nice. I'll have to go back and look and see what kind of trade that was, but. I think Jordan got lucky with meeting Jared without Marcus, but I mean, he still has to go through the gauntlet of having Le'Veon Bell, Jordan Howard, and Gronkowski going against him, which, oh my gosh, last week was, a heart attack all Sunday. It was probably the most stressful Sunday, just because I was like, oh shit, you know, Le'Veon's just going to go for 20, 30, you know, I think they gave him like 35 carries. So, I like Jordan this week. I think just him not having really any buys. I mean, Devontae, okay, that's questionable. But I really like Jordan this week.
Rick?
Yeah, I think it comes down to how much action Latavius Murray ends up getting, because these teams are still pretty strong all the way through. If Murray ends up being like an RB2 who maybe doesn't get in at the goal line or something like that, because he had a huge week last week. So if Minnesota and London keeps that up and they ride Latavius, I think that's going to be a big advantage to Jordan, because I think he's got the stronger middle section of his team, wide receiver through flex, than Jared does. But I think I'm going to take Jared this week. I think his running backs are going to have a huge week, and Gronk as well.
Interesting. I'm going to go with Jordan. I can't see Jared overcome. I just can't see Matt Moore doing very well, so I can't see Jared overcoming that. I think Jameis has a solid week. Melvin has a good week, probably about 15 to 20. Doug Martin puts her up between 10 and 15. I mean, AJ Green has a great matchup against Indianapolis. Keenan Allen has a good matchup against New England, and Stephon Diggs has a great matchup against Cleveland. As does, so I mean, those guys could put up some monster numbers this week. So I'm going to roll with Jordan to get the victory here.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's kind of based on those matchups of the wide receivers for Jordan. If those teams, I mean, say that New England game is high scoring, you know, because New England, of course, they score a lot of points and they have to pass a lot for the Chargers. Keenan Allen's going to be getting a lot of looks. So I think that's a good call.
All right, so we have completed all of our matchups, and now it's time for some fun little segments. How does that sound, guys?
Yay!
I like segments.
Okay, so I'm going to start off. Last week we had, what was it, shitty trade offers that Duncan was talking about. Was that last week?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do a shitty trade offer from Duncan. So today I was offered Wendell Smallwood, J.J. Nelson, and Juju Smith-Schuster, all for Duke Johnson.
Huh. Three for one?
Three for one. So, first of all, I'm not ever going to do a three for one trade. I don't care who it's for. And I'm not going to trade Duke Johnson, who I just traded for and is the 12th ranked running back, or whatever he is, for a guy who's not even a starting running, or is a like a part-time starting running back, J.J. Nelson, who's on a bye this week and has Giancarlo Stanton throwing to him, and Juju Smith-Schuster, who is the fifth or possibly 69th option in Pittsburgh. I don't get, like, do you actually think that I was going to accept that, Duncan? I don't know. I don't want to bash on Duncan too much, but that trade just kind of irked me. So I'm actually going to go and decline it right now. I kept it up. I kept it up so I could look at it for this podcast. But I will sadly decline, Duncan. I'm sorry.
Well, then I've got another segment. It's called "What Are the Chances That Scott Has Another Player Get Taken Out by Injury?"
Probably very high.
Yeah. Just to list off his injuries. So we had David Johnson go out for the season. That's very tough. Greg Olsen, those are two of his top four picks. A lot of people probably forget, but Cameron Meredith, who knows?
All right.
Sneed, he's got
Settle Macklin.
Macklin. Carr was out for a week. Sanu, he was out for a few weeks. Janikowski was out for the whole year, which that hurts just Oakland in general. Chris Conley, great football player. Then Carson Palmer, he picks him up and he gets hurt. So I'm glad I dropped him there. Burkhead was hurt for a few weeks and then he dropped him and then he's now healthy or whatever. And then Ellington was actually out for a few weeks too. So I know that's kind of okay. Cameron Meredith's not that great. Macklin's been terrible, but that's still just based
it's,
on injuries.
It's hard to deal. It's hard to deal with. Yeah, I
mean, that's a whole fantasy football team right there. So,
yeah. Yeah, I got a couple what are the chances to bounce off of that? What are the chances that Scott goes winless?
Also high.
Let's look at his schedule.
His schedule
it's a very tough schedule.
So he gets me this week, he goes at Andrew, which Byer away, Homer away, doesn't matter. I don't know why I said that. He then gets Jared. So he gets me, Andrew, Jared, and then his last 3 weeks are Fronic, Jordan, Luke. I think maybe he can beat Andrew.
I think Andrew is the one place where he can win there. For sure. You got to look at the matchups. He plays Jared with a completely full roster. So, Jared has a full roster.
Well, the other thing, too, is you got to remember is those last 3 weeks, I'm the weak link of the three, but I'm going to be healthy and Woodhead will be back. So, I'm hoping he's going to be good. We'll see.
Yeah, but you're going to have your Jets on bye.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Austin Jenkins won't catch a touchdown.
I think Andrew week 9 is the one opportunity to win. I can't see him winning any of the other matchups. So, yeah. What are the chances that Scott trades Todd Gurley to Luke?
Low.
I hope it's low.
I think Scott's being pretty smart about not trading away his star players for a poo-poo platter, like Duncan did.
Yeah. Sorry,
10% maybe? I don't know.
I hope it's low. I'm just looking at Scott's schedule, and I mean, he scored less than 100 the last 5 weeks, but he's had 130... He's had 135, 125, 122, 122, 115, 96, and 140 scored against him.
Yeah,
like even if Scott was doing reasonably well and scoring 120 points a week, he would still be 2-5.
Oh God!
I mean, you could argue that
that's fucking horrid.
Yeah, I mean, you could honestly argue that I'm going to be a little unrealistic, but he might have a better team than, you know, say Andrew or Duncan. I think he might have a better team than Duncan if he were to actually play a wide receiver 3 and a flex. Was it his flex? I think it was this last week.
Yeah. Yeah, it was his flex. It was Ellington.
I actually texted him Sunday morning. I said, hey, don't forget, Hopkins is on a bye.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah, I texted him. I wanted to see. I was like, dude, let's see if you're going to play, if he's going to do it. And he's like, oh, thanks, Ronick. And I was like, okay.
Dude, that's so annoying. I was at work. I was looking at his lineup constantly. And I know he's like hasn't put anybody in. He had Macklin and Sneed out at his wide receivers.
At this point, you just feel bad, though, dude. It's not like It's not like I was sabotaging you, but...
But I needed the win, so, like, I wasn't complaining. But, yeah. Anyway, next segment, I want to do some For Real or Pharrells with you guys. I got three of them for you. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I have a fourth we can add in as some at the end if you don't cover it as well.
Okay. So, you don't have a sound thing for Real or Pharrell, do you?
I do not.
Damn.
Okay. So, my first is Real Football, the LA Rams.
For Real.
Pharrell.
I think they get a wild
really?
Card.
Really? I mean, they might win the division.
They're 5-2. Their defense is doing pretty well, and they got a running back that's electric when you get him in the pass game. And they got a good play caller. I mean, I guess if we're calling For Real, then I guess, yeah, they make the wild card. But I think they're like a 9-7 team. I think there's going to be...
That's probably going to be good enough for the wild card this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying...
Go ahead.
I think 5-2 is really good for what they're at. I mean, you know, if you were to extrapolate that the whole season, do you think they're like a 12-4, 11-5 team? No, definitely not.
I think they're 10-6. I think they might like tie with the Seahawks or maybe win the division. I don't know. They're the highest scoring team in the league and haven't been over 500 this late since 2004. So I think they're pretty good. I think they definitely make the playoffs. On the shoulders of Todd Gurley.
Wow, wouldn't that be something, huh? The year that the Chargers come to LA, they...
Oh, wouldn't it be great?
Oh, yeah. Gotta love it.
All right, next one. We kind of touched on him earlier on Tim's team, but Evan Engram.
For real. I mean, it's kind of tough. They always say, oh, rookie tight ends don't do well. It takes them a couple years and stuff. But I think he's for real. I mean, he was obviously a good enough tight end to draft in the first round. And he's what, like 6'4", 240 pounds. I mean, he's going to be good, I think.
Rick?
I don't know. He's
for real. They literally have no one else to throw to.
I just feel like Shepard's probably going to come back and be healthy, and then he'll get a lot of targets as well. I also feel like the Giants are just going to be in, like, fuck it, we don't care anymore mode and just kind of run the ball to keep Eli healthy for next season. I mean, long-term in the NFL, yeah, he's probably for real. Fantasy-wise, this season, I'm leaning Pharrell.
I'm going to lean for real. I think he ends up as a top-five tight end this season.
I mean, who else are they going to throw to? I mean, Shepard's in the slot, but, I mean, that's
exactly.
still... That's...
I think he's really good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think he's for real. I think still, like, in real life, I think he's going to be, you know, eventually probably a top 10 tight end. That's pretty fair.
And my last one is, I mean, I know he's not going to score 38.5 points a week, but Amari Cooper, which, it's not really for real or Pharrell, which Amari Cooper shows up the rest of the season? Is it the guy that scored less than 2 points three straight weeks in a row, or is it a guy that starts putting up relatively solid numbers?
I would go with the latter. I think he's...
What do you mean by relatively solid? Like 9.5, 10 points?
I mean, maybe not for what the value Tim drafted for, which was, what, like a second round pick?
Second round pick.
So that's probably, you probably expect about 15 from him. I would say, yeah, between 10, around a 10 or 11 points, do you think he starts averaging that a week?
I think from here on out, yeah, I think he gets closer to the, like, if you look at his averages after this big week, I think he's going to start averaging about 10. But I think he's, like, turned into a number two receiver in that offense. Like, he drops the ball too often for, I think, Carr to feel comfortable throwing to him.
Well, I think that Oakland offense, and Pip, you can attest to it, was just, they've just been weird this year. And they haven't really looked like their team at all from last year when they returned, like, basically the whole starting lineup except for Marshawn. So I think he's going to get back to the norm. I don't think he's, you know, going to get 40 again this year. But I think he's going to be, you know, he could have some boom weeks for maybe 20. At the top, but I think they start thrown to him, and they kind of work him around. Last week, I think they got him in the slot like 9 times for, you know, his targets. He was targeted 19 times total last week. And his most receptions he'd ever had out of the slot was 3 before that. So moving him around the formation, seeing what he can do from the, you know, going down the seam or whatnot, I think could work, you know. I mean, he's not a good, he's not a big guy either, right? Isn't he like 6 foot, 5'11"?
I'm not sure on his girth, but I think he's the number two receiver in Oakland. He was last year, and he was the year before behind Crabtree, especially in the red zone. I think he puts up really mediocre numbers the rest of the year. I'm not convinced by him. I think the offense might get a little bit better, but yeah, I think they tried to. I think they basically said before the Kansas City game, "We're gonna feed you the ball today. If you can't do it, you know,
you're trash.
You're gonna be out of favor here." So he performed. I mean, it was great. They won. So yeah. Anyway, Rick, what's yours?
My Ferrell or Ferrell is Austin Seferian Jenkins. He is the number 13 fantasy tight end, 3 straight weeks with a touchdown as a Jet. Do you think he can keep this up?
Well,
for
I don't
real...
think...
Sorry.
Go Pip.
I'm going to say for real in fantasy purposes, just because Josh McCown has been fairly decent and needs someone to throw to, and what better than a nice little tight end? Solid guy to throw to. Yeah, right, Fronic?
So yeah.
I think, yeah, he's for real in terms of fantasy. He'll score touchdowns on a fairly consistent basis and end as a top 10 tight end. So, I mean, fantasy-wise, that is a guy that you can start on your team.
Yeah, I think for real. Just because if you look at his targets in the end zone, in the red zone, sorry, you know, he's right up there with a lot of the other really good tight ends. So that Jets offense, I mean, they have Robbie Anderson and Jermaine Kearse. So, and yeah, kudos to me for starting 2 Jets in my lineup this week. But yeah, I think he's a good, I mean, there was a lot of talk about him changing his eating habits and trying to move his life around, I guess, after that Tampa Bay exit went so terribly. And so since week 3, since he came back from his 2-game suspension, he's actually been really good. I don't know the numbers on it, but he's produced like a top 5 tight end. So really happy with that pickup, and I think he's real life and fantasy for real.
All right.
I disagree. I think he's for real.
Well, let's try and speed this up a bit. We're pushing 1.5 hours right now. Rick, or I'll start with catching feels.
There's no need to clarify.
Oh no.
Just let it grow more and more each day. It's like I married my best friend,
but in a totally manly way.
Let's go!
Catching feels. Very good, Rick. I'm going to go. I got 2. One is on my team, Harrison Butker. That is kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. He scored 11, 21, 8, and 14 for me. He has only missed 1 field goal. And, yeah, he's played really well the last couple weeks, and I think he's going to continue on doing that in a very good offense. And I'm glad I dropped Justin Tucker for him. And then my last catching feel is Cooper Kupp of the Rams on Jordan's team. He leads the Rams in red zone targets, and I think he was definitely top 5 in red zone targets in the league this year. He might be 2nd. So that is a pretty valuable guy to have on the highest scoring offense in the league.
I also have a catching feels.
Catching feels.
Jarvis Landry on Jared's team. He has 3 straight weeks with a TD reception from Jay Cutler. He has at least 5 receptions every week. He had that 13 reception game week 2, and only DeAndre Hopkins and Antonio Brown get a higher share of their team's passing game. That is pretty incredible.
Yeah, he's always been a target and catch high volume of those for the Dolphins. He's just always kind of struggled with touchdowns, but I like that. I like that one, Rick.
Thank you.
I have a catching feels for Carson Wentz.
Catching feels.
As a real life fan for the Eagles, yeah, he gives me a hard shaft.
A what?
A hard shaft.
It's a fat shaft.
Fat shaft. Hard.
Yeah.
I should know. I created
that gives
it.
Me the fattest shaft.
I created that saying, so I can.
Well, you know what? Sure. Did you get a meme made out of it?
No, because I didn't get to decide that I was going to say it 27 times a day and annoy everyone with that.
Instead, you just say other things 27 times a day and annoy us.
Like multiple stories, yeah.
I got a Brock of the Week.
Brock of the Week.
Terrell Pryor. He is the number 65 fantasy wide receiver this season. He should not have wide receiver status on any fantasy team, and only one touchdown. And that was the only week that he got over 10 points. I really don't think against the Niners he's going to have a good week. He's only topped 50 yards twice. Even against the Niners, he only got 3 receptions. He's only topped 50 yards twice, and he's going up against Dallas this week. And they're pretty bad, the wide receivers, but I really don't think he has a good week. So I think he's struggling in that offense.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I'm so glad I never traded for any of Tibbs receivers, because I was trying so hard to get some of them at the start of the year, and they've all been fairly terrible. So.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, ooh, Tim might have the best wide receiver core, and I think we all probably thought that, maybe behind Jordan's team. But with Brandon Marshall and then Terrell Pryor and Cooper all struggling, I think, yeah, his whole wide receiver core has been very underwhelming.
Yeah. I got some yeah dudes.
Okay.
All right, my first yeah dude goes to Scott. Oh, wait, actually.
Yeah,
sorry,
dude.
I got a yeah dude. There you go, Rick. A little bit slow there, buddy.
Yeah, dude.
It goes to Scott for allegedly not knowing how the waivers work and then snaking the Bengals defense from me and probably a few other people this morning on the waiver wire.
Me.
Scott said he was trying to pick up Taylor Gabriel before the Sunday games and was like, why couldn't I pick him up? It was like, well, because Luke dropped him the day before, and that means he's not available until Wednesday. And
yeah, dude.
So I think that's a fairly good yeah dude for Scott.
Is that JoJo of the week?
Yes.
That might be a JoJo. Yeah. That's
yeah.
Now the JoJo of the week. Way to go, loser.
God, dude. I just can't even picture that guy, the sound guy, just doing that. Just being like, wow, I'm such a dumbass saying these things right now.
Yeah, I forgot the JoJo of the week was a thing, but that, yeah, that's perfect for Scott. That was very sad. And my other yeah dude, goes to Rick.
What?
For Rick, not in general, but kind of. But goes to Rick for you saying that Deshaun Watson was Pharrell. Earlier in the season.
Yeah, that's on me. I was wrong.
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, next, dude.
I think we'll really see next year, just because they'll have a whole year of defense, or sorry, not of defense, of game tape just to watch for all those defenses. So I think he'll probably regress quite a bit next year.
Yeah. Anyway, you guys got any more segments?
I've got one more. It's a little different, but it's an almost you got Plaxicode.
You got Plaxicode.
So all reports throughout the weekend were that Sterling Shepard was actually going to play. And I even heard Sunday morning, Sterling Shepard's going to play. So I took out Robbie Anderson out of my starting lineup and ended up starting Sterling Shepard. And then I get a notification that Sterling Shepard is inactive at about 12, about an hour before game time is when they start doing inactives, I think. And so I had to go to the waiver wire and drop the Bengals defense, which I had saved up for this week because they had a good matchup and they've been actually really good this week or this year. So I had to pick up Benny Fowler. And luckily for me, he got like a
Luke's cat, Benny.
Yeah, he got a, I think he got like a, I think he got like a 25 yard reception, like the last like minute, just garbage time stat. And, that actually ended up propelling me to the win. So I almost Plaxico'd myself, and almost pulled a Scott to have no wide receiver three.
Huh.
Well, good thing you didn't.
I have
We all live on the West Coast, Veronica. You can say at 9 a.m. You don't have to say 12.
No, it was actually 12. It was after because they had the 1 p.m.
Yeah, the
game.
Giants played late.
So I had really no options. I would have just put Robbie Anderson back into my lineup, but he had already played, and so had every one of my other wide receivers on my bench and in my team. So I really had to try and see if there's any available wide receivers worth starting. And so I picked up Fowler and won.
I have some breaking moves for a don't trade me, bro.
Don't
trade
me, bro. Don't
trade.
I didn't do it, bro.
I have made a trade with Duncan. I traded away Theo Riddick for the Seahawks defense.
What? That's an odd trade.
Why?
Because the Cardinals defense is pretty horrible and they're on bye. And I knew that Duncan had the Seahawks defense, and I was just trying to see if he'd be willing to part away with them. And he said that he liked Theo Riddick. And I said, okay, do you want to do just straight up that? And he said, yep. And I sent the trade, and he just accepted it. So breaking news on the podcast.
Wow. Groundbreaking.
Wow, big time trade. Can we get Duncan's thoughts on this?
No, I've not had enough time to prepare his audio, so I do not know what he thinks on it. Other than that, I know that he liked Theo Riddick on my team because I offered him Austin Hooper and I think Kenny Stills.
I bet you his analysis would probably be that he shares a backfield, so he probably likes him a lot.
It is, yeah, it is another RB2 in an offensive system for Duncan to be able to play.
Yeah.
All right.
Good
well,
luck,
Duncan.
Yeah. I've been wondering
you guys
that, Rick.
Anything more?
No.
Luke went full Falcon to me on the Sunday and Monday night games, but I don't want to go into that because I'm still kind of upset the Falcons lost. But yeah, Luke blew us up like 110 to 70, and I won by 5.
Okay, so do I get to do the outro talking about you and Tim on the thing? Do I get to do that too? Stay tuned for KUGN 590 this Friday as Rick Nodgers and Tim Thompson call the fascinating high school football game between Sheldon and some other Eugene High School game that 15 people are going to listen to. Tune in at 7 p.m. Friday. I'm done now. You're too late on the music, but...
It took me a while to find it. This Friday night, tune in to Tim Thompson and myself on KUGN News Talk 590. Pre-game's at 6:45. Kickoff is at 7. Our final week regular season game of the year as we'll have the Willamette Wolverines hosting the North Medford Black Tornado. Both teams are 2-6 on the season, looking to come away with an important victory that would lock them in the top 36 and a possible playoff spot in the 6A Oregon State playoffs. You can tune in Eugene, KUGN News Talk 590 AM, or online anywhere in the world, KUGN.com.
Go North Medford.
Bye!
Bye!